the Migs Cast. I didn't think we were going to do a podcast this week, Rev.
Yeah.
But, you know, I felt like we should.
Yeah, and especially just looking at the Facebook page and a lot of people on there.
Yeah.
Just talking about what happened.
Yeah, so I think at this point people are probably going to be tuning into this podcast, you know, because, well, we lost half of our podcast.
Yeah.
Top Shelf and Mono Nick no longer with us. You can listen to BJ and Migs, just download. You know, I would download either the 6 o'clock hour or the 7 o'clock hour from...
The 7 o'clock one was a good one.
Yeah, I think that really kind of went into full detail about how we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try and keep the spirits up on this one because, man, you know, it's been a rough morning. And we decided to add a new member for today and today only, and that is BJ Shea.
Well, it's about time you brought some class into this establishment.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I saw you in there. We're just talking. We're trying to figure out, like, we were like,
what are we going to do?
And then I was like, oh, BJ's just hanging out. I'm like, BJ, just jump on, because I think, like, this one, you know, obviously I know that you like to kind of do your own thing. And
I have an agenda, to be honest.
I know you're watching Horace and Pete in the other room.
Yeah, which is, by the way, a great show, the new Louis C.K. show, which you can only get on his website, but it's well worth it, man.
Yeah.
I have an agenda. The reason I'm here is that I finally can say now I'm on the top podcast for the Northwest.
Yes, the number one podcast of Western Washington.
Thank you. Hey, I've been trying with Geek Nation.
I've been trying with BJ's Geek Nation, but this Migs Cast and this Luke Burbank show, they're just a thorn in my side, I tell you. To get to number one, I can't do it.
What do you call it? Luke what?
Oh, Heisenberg.
Heisenberg.
Yeah, because he manipulates all of his listeners like Heisenberg did to Jesse.
Some of the douches have called him Luke Turdbank.
That's not nice.
We say it because we joke.
Oh, I hope so. Because I like Luke.
It's out of love.
Yeah. Is it mostly out of love?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. Well, absolutely.
That's what you kids are calling today.
Totally.
All right.
Just like I love Brock Lesnar.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true.
So, I think, like, I felt like, you know, let's do a few minutes at least because, well, like we said, we have no idea what we're going to do. This is not, like, something we plan, like, okay, now when Toppy and Nick are gone, we're going to bring this person in. It just didn't feel right. We don't know, obviously. This morning, a lot of people are on the Migscast Facebook page hitting us up, wondering what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people sharing some great memories. A lot of people are angry, and it's something that, like, we encountered this morning. You see the people run the gamut of emotions, from anger, sadness, to empathy, to understanding. Some of them all in, like, the course of the same text.
And sometimes it's just getting a word back from you guys or talking on the Migscast and talking with other douches.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are able to work some stuff out, and, you know, hopefully they are. It's weird right now.
It's very weird because there's people that, you know, that have communicated with us on the BJ and Migs show and said, I'm never going to listen again. And as a guy going, geez, I'm trying to get people to listen to the show that we do.
Right.
And so it's really crushing to, you know, to think, like, because we're grieving too. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't like this either. We wish this wasn't the case. And so I use that analogy. It's like, I feel like I'm at like a loved one's funeral and all the relatives are calling me a piece of crap and saying they don't want anything to do with me. And I'm like,
you
dude.
You gave him sugar and he died of diabetes.
Yeah. It's like, dude, this.
Okay. Maybe a little bit of a stretch. Sorry.
A little close there.
So I get get the anger,
yep.
And that's why I wanted to come on here as well, because I made sense, because, I mean, you know, those guys were a big part of this podcast, too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's 50% of the podcast. I mean, it was just weird even starting off by not saying, hey, it's my good friend Top Shelf. Like that was part of, we said it because we meant it. Like, we love those guys, and, like, BJ, I know you chatted with Toppy yesterday. I chatted with Toppy yesterday. I don't know if, Rev, if you had a chance to.
I talked with him on text, and I'm actually going to be seeing him today.
Awesome.
Yeah, and just the first thing I just said, man, is, like, this sucks, and I love you, man. You're part of the family.
Right. That's funny. That was the first line I wrote was, I love you, bro.
Really? And it's just, it's tough.
And I know we're saying Toppy, and people are like, well, why aren't you talking to Nick? And I think that will come in due time. And it's out of respect. Like, honestly, like, I was like, I'll wait a few days before I reach out to either of them, because I don't know how they're going to handle this.
That's how I am.
Yeah.
I'm giving people space, and hearing that Rev is actually going to go meet with Toppy, I think, is wonderful. And Rev, when you see him, let him know that I'm open to get together, too. I'm just giving somebody
absolutely
space, because... Right. I can only think of how I'd be in that situation, which I've been many times.
Yeah.
I have left a company for whatever reason. Sometimes I left on my own accord. Sometimes they threw me out of the building. Either way, it's like, you know, I just need some time.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's the right thing to do in their case, but that's what I would do for me. So that's my intent. But I'm willing to you let them know. Yeah. I'm willing to be anything for anybody because I deeply care about the guy. He's been in my radio life here in Seattle pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, and both of them have been for me.
Yeah.
Like Nick started interning the same day I got hired, basically. And Toppy was the guy who helped me find a place to stay up in Linhood.
Linhood?
Yeah.
And you still hold that against him.
Yeah. That stupid husky that
but
I
like, like we're, what we're basically trying to say is just that, you know, we care about them. They are important to us. This isn't like, you know, we are no longer going to want to have them in our lives as friends and as family members, but you know, we're in a business. It's a show business. It's no different than like, oh man, I've been dealing with like weirdness, like a couple buddies that play in the NFL that were Seahawks, and it's such a weird thing, like because you know you. That's why I think I understand where the listeners are coming from, because my first instinct is like I just saw that AJ Francis, who's become a good bud of mine.
He's awesome.
Great guy. He's a geek. He's a wrestling fan. We hung out in Dallas. He joined us on the air that one morning and they cut him.
Yeah.
And my first thing was, F the Seahawks. And,
yep.
then I read what he wrote and he summed it up best. He's like, look, man, this is the nature of the business and it sucks, but you know, I'll be fine. I'll get back on my feet. You know, in his situation, it was because he was in grad school. He wasn't here for the OTAs. And I think that had a little bit to do with it.
Oh.
And you know, that sucks. And it's like, oh, and then our buddy Drew Nowak, who's been on our show before.
Yeah.
When the season ended, everything seemed like everything was good for this upcoming season, signed a new deal. Everything looked great. And the next thing you know, they're like, yeah, we're just going to cut you. And then it's just like, oh, F you Seahawks again.
Mm-hmm,
and then good news with him, I just found out he just yesterday signed a deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. So
cool.
He went there, met with them. And it's just like, you know, and that I think is the thing is like, you know, it's a bummer. We always want to be mad at somebody. But sometimes there's no one to be mad at. It's just unfortunate.
I remember that because I had a good friendship with Ryan Roland Smith. I mean, I love that guy.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
He used to pitch for the Mariners. And boy, was I pissed at the Mariners when he was no longer on the team. And the trouble is, you know, everyone's got to make the right moves for themselves. And I love the way that a lot of these guys have handled it. Mm-hmm. It's taught me something because I have not been gracious whenever I've exited any situation.
go out guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
I'm setting this place on fire.
Burn it.
That's why I want to give a lot of love to Toppy. I haven't heard from Nick, but you know, Toppy, what a classy guy. He sent me a really, really cool text, which made me think, God, I have never been this mature and this grown up and gracious whenever I have been in his situation.
No bitterness, nothing but love.
I know, amazing to me, because there's no way I've ever been that in my whole life.
I agree. Like, it's very rare that you get those kind of messages from somebody. And
that's why it's hard for us, because we're getting all this anger.
Right.
And we're like, dude, we're with you. It's like there's in our minds, there's no bad guy, because we know that members of management are not, I mean, they're not having a good day.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where you get that, okay, this is reality. This is how it is. And everybody's bummed about this. God, I mean, it's just like, damn life and being an adult. It sucks being an adult. That's all I want to say. It really, really does.
It really does.
And you guys, I mean, you guys even said it. It's like, it'd be easier if there was something like terrible that happened that caused this.
Right, like you set fire to the boss's car.
Yeah, exactly. Or,
And took a poop inside the too.
or a stupid boss. I mean, you know, it's like, I've been in situations where somebody was really an idiot and made the wrong move. I've been there. People listen to the show know I've been there. And that's the trouble. When it's not a case of somebody being an idiot, and it's just a case of this is how it has to be, which I think anybody who's been in anything in life, sometimes things just have to be and they suck. Oh, you know,
we all want to blame somebody. We all want
to
yell at somebody.
It's so much easier to blame somebody.
It is. And it's like, this is one of those weird instances where, as you've heard it on our show, we're not telling you to blame anybody. Like, I mean, obviously, we're like,
you know, I would if I could.
I know you
would. I mean, you know, I want to come up with someone to blame. I really do.
Make up a fictional character. It was John's fault.
Yeah, I really, really would. I feel so badly for everybody involved, because there's nobody to blame, and this is reality. You know, I mean, it's just, again, when you're a kid, you don't have to understand this stuff.
Right.
You get to be mad even when it's irrational.
Yeah.
Being an adult means you can be mad, but realizing, but this is how it's got to be. and it sucks.
Hell, I even saw today, like, the WWE just released the Brooklyn Brawler, who's not a wrestler anymore, but he's a guy that does a lot behind the scenes for them. Steve Lombardi. Yeah. Grew up
crazy.
Big, I know you're like,
do I have to stay for this?
This is our, no, okay. We have to hit a quota.
Yeah,
of wrestling
we have to talk a little bit of wrestling in here, man.
This started as a wrestling podcast, so we make one reference.
Okay, fair enough.
But like, even recently, they had Black Friday in the WWE where they fired a bunch of the guys that were part of it, like Hornswoggle and guys that aren't really being Wade Barrett. And it was like, who do I yell at? You know, but sometimes it just happens. Sometimes, for all I know, Wade Barrett wanted to leave and he's just. That's just how it happened. I don't know. I'm not a part of the decision-making process of that, but I don't know about you guys. One of the hardest things, though, is when you do get the texts that are angry or the Facebook messages that are angry, I think in any life, like, and BJ, you probably from your years of therapy can address this even better than I can, but I know in my relationship, sometimes somebody's mad, and they're not really mad at you, but the anger is coming at you, so then what is our first thing to do? Yell back.
Yeah.
And it's been so hard, because some people are being really... gigantic a-holes.
Yeah, you see the text. You're seeing them even quicker. People, I mean, I think texting's even worse as far as when it comes to vitriol as opposed to Facebook and Twitter.
They just fire it off. They don't have to worry about anyone other than us seeing it.
Yeah.
And my initial thing wants to be F you back. But then I'm like, I got to remove myself. I got to just ignore all the hatred that's coming out of the tone of the text and be like, they're just upset. They're just sad.
That's
no different than us. So I would try. I couldn't write everyone back because then I wouldn't be able to be on the air.
And
they pay me to talk after all.
Oh, is that what they pay you to do?
No, I don't know these days. But, I write them back and be like, look, man, like how we're talking right now. I get it. It does suck. We're sad too. And most of them would write back and be like, thank you. I just wanted a reply.
Yeah.
It's hard though.
Yeah, and I've been, I've been doing that too as far as all the Facebook and Twitter, and I'll probably spend more time doing it. That's pretty much everybody was doing that today, Vicky and Sarah, and everybody was just on board just doing everything they could do.
And I was fielding the phone calls.
Yeah.
Fortunately, like you said, with text, they get pretty angry pretty quickly, but the people who were taking the time to call in, a lot of them were saying nice things. They were just like, this really sucks, but it's not going to really deter us from continuing to listen,
right.
And we're still here for you guys. It's all still what we love to listen to, and that was kind of nice just to be able to get that because I'm watching the texts
as well. Like, that's a human way to react. That's the right way.
Yeah,
that's because they heard another voice on the other end. They know that you're hurting as well.
Yeah, and I can't. And it's one of those things where it's like I can't mask it. Like I haven't been able to. When someone calls in, and it's like, oh, what happened? I try to explain it, and as much as I even know, because I don't know very much about it either, and just being like, okay, yeah, this is, how it is, and unfortunately this is happening. And they're like, oh, all right, cool. And the same thing. We just want to hear somebody say something in a human voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was so great about Seattle. I mean, you know me. I always talk about all the other places I've lived.
Right.
But what's great about here is that had this been anywhere else, and I think, Steve, I think of where we came from, the Northeast.
I couldn't even imagine.
It would be a beating. I mean, nobody, at least the folks here in Seattle, I think people are so evolved here that even though they're angry, they're still willing to try to be cool.
Yeah.
Other parts of the country I've been to, it would just be hate, hate, hate. They wouldn't care. They wouldn't care about our feelings.
They're level-headed, I think. More than most places.
And they get it. They're aware that,
or stoned.
Yeah, there's that.
Hey, doesn't hurt.
But they can tell that it's not an easy day for us. There have been other things that have gone on in my career where, I've been like, yeah, listen, And I've been very angry about it, whatever. But in this particular instance, it's just sadness. I mean, talk about the therapy. At the bottom of it all, it's sadness.
Yeah.
It's sadness that this change is happening and that people that we love and that we're used to are not going to be in our lives the way they were before. And that's just the sadness of freaking change, and it sucks. I mean, it's just brutal going, wow, this my whole life is going to be disrupted. And I think as humans, we know, it's not the first, not the last time we're going to experience that, which really sucks.
And I thought credit to you. I mean, because, when, like you said this morning, like I wanted to be the one that delivered the news as opposed to just going on vacation because, we are going to be off on Friday or, act like it didn't happen like some radio shows would do or like, when you have this news you have to deliver, you're like, well, how have other people handled it? And you look at like other stations or other shows that have, and it seemed like the general way that they would handle it was, and it was addressed when we talk about it before we went on the air was, okay, we'll say this and then we'll be like, we're having a hard time, so understand that and leave us, almost like leave us alone.
Yeah, I never understood the leave us us alone part of life.
Right. Like, respect our privacy. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously we can't share everything. And like you said, but I was like, and I thought the credit to you to be like, you know what? No, we can't be. Everyone's situations are different, obviously. And in our situation, this is not about hating on two guys,
yeah,
or vilifying two guys, or vilifying the company, or vilifying Hair Club, which a lot of people want us to do, mm-hmm. or that's all they know. And you're like, no, we just have to be accountable and say what we can, and that's all we can. And please respect that, but we're not going to tell you how to feel. We are here to hear it, yeah. and as awful as sometimes as it is to hear what some people have to say, and as you know, it hurts your pride. It hurts you as a human being because it's like people are just angry, but. I think it was the right thing to do, you know, just to be able to be like, hey, look, we'll be the punching bags. We'll take it.
That's the part of this job that sucks.
Yeah.
But that's part of this job. I mean, look, we ask you to be with us. We mm-hmm. ask you to hang with us. We ask you to invest your life and really buy into mm-hmm. the family we have here.
Right.
What the hell would we be if we just said, oh, you know what? We're not going to share. We're not going to be with you for this part of it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. I mean, look, at some point, I know I'm going to go. And look, it's going to be, someone's going to sit me down someday and go, look, you're 80.
Yeah. And you're not wearing pants. And you keep showing up to work. It's very weird.
We're confused.
I tell everybody that. It's going to happen. I want to go out with grace and dignity, and I want it to be like this. And the way I've seen with these two guys, that's how I want it to be, where I want whoever comes on the air and talks about me not being here anymore, I want them to speak about me the way we're speaking about Top Shelf and Nick, because that's what they deserve, and I hope that people think of me as well as we think of them, to say, look, yeah, it sucks they're gone. It's got to be this way, but it sucks.
Yeah.
And that we love them, and we're going to miss them, and you know, especially as far as off air, well, we're not going to forget them. That's for sure. We'll, I spoke about Brad, the old producer, way back in the day.
You still get together.
We still get together. Yeah, and it's because you know the guy he's been a great guy in my life, and he's just doing his thing now, and I'm doing my thing.
And like you said this morning, in fact, you know, not that at the time, obviously, it wasn't a great thing to happen to him, but in the long run, it sounds like he's in a very good place.
I hope. That's the one thing I keep in my heart about this situation. I hope that's true. It's hard for me to see it right now because I'm in it.
Right.
I mean, you know, sometimes people say that to me when something bad happens to me. Oh, but I'm sure in the future it'll be okay. And I go, you know what? Please don't say that to me now. Right. Okay. This is not the time for you to tell me how it's going to be sunny and rosy and door closes, windows open. I don't want to hear that crap. And I sure as hell don't want to hear it now. But I do have a part of me that at least from an experiential point of view of living this life, I have seen that happen to other people. And boy, I can't think of two better guys that I want them to have an amazing life to the point where I want them both to come up to me and go, I want you to know I'm doing so much better than when I was working with you.
Right.
I'd be like, well, let's be honest, almost anybody who doesn't work with me is doing a lot better.
I'll be like, hey, can you get me in on this?
I feel for the most part that's true.
Yeah.
People that, you know, that definitely for Brad. I think Brad's got an amazing life.
Oh, my goodness.
For the Melissa and Bill Gates Foundation.
Melinda.
And Melinda, yeah, her too.
And the mistress, Melissa.
Oh, sorry, Melissa. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she's hot. She's
on. Probably a different foundation.
I know Bill and Melissa very well.
He doesn't bring her out much because she uses iPhones and stuff.
By the way, wouldn't that be great if Brad wasn't really working, but it was the Bill and Melissa Foundation, and all this time it's been a phony foundation? He's not charging. It's a front for some criminal organization.
That'd be amazing.
It's like, well, maybe you should have checked the spelling. It's Melinda, Brad.
Yeah. And everyone's like, that's not Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And he took Bill's Gate.
I remember Brad took me for a tour one time, and you know, I was happy to do it, and I was so impressed. Like, dude, I don't know how to tell you this, but your workplace is so much cooler than mine. Your job now is so much cooler than the job we both had.
Yeah.
And you know, he's doing so well, and Brad was a big part of the success of my career here
Absolutely.
In Seattle. And Toppy the same
Toppy.
Thing.
Yeah.
And Nick, I mean, those guys have. There's nothing negative to say, and I hope. I just hope that, you know, that they have amazing things happen to them. I really do. But right now, it sucks. Yep. I know it sucks for them. I know it sucks for us. And so I'm not going to be Mr. Half Empty, Half Full. I'm not from
I'm not
from the part of the country where people think that way anyway.
And
everything sucks where I'm from.
And if we're like, yeah, it'll be fine, it's almost like that's a selfish thing on our part to say. It's not up to us to tell people how they're going to be no different. And it's not up to us to tell you all the details. As much as I know people demand it, and man, it would be a lot easier to share details and get it out and just move on, and at least people get whatever they get satisfied by getting the details that they need, even though they don't necessarily need it. But people like having closure. But sometimes you just can't give that stuff out because it's not fair to the people that are involved.
Yeah, I mean, I said it on the on the BJ and Migs show. You know, when you work with us, we come in and we talk to you and say, if you want to be on our show, here's how we do it. We talk a lot about our personal lives. We won't make you talk about everything, but if you're not willing to share a good part of your life, then this probably isn't the show for you.
Yeah.
And then once we have that agreement with somebody, that's while they're on the show. And I get it. As a listener, you're so used to that, that you're like, all right, well, I'm so used to knowing everything. I had to have this talk with my daughter, actually, because my wife is uncomfortable with a lot of stuff that my daughter shares on the show.
I don't know why she would.
Yeah. And look, I am too, but you know what? I've known this. My wife and I are both whack jobs, so we knew that our kids wouldn't be 9-to-5 kids.
It's funny you say. I forgot to think about that. She's doing this and throwing this out there with parents listening.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the stories we could get out of her if dad wasn't listening.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, and I had to have a talk with her.
Oh, man.
And I had to have a talk with her and the prodigy and say, look, here's the thing. You know, you're going to be expected to be reveal a bit of your personal life, or it's not going to work. That's an agreement we have. It's a challenge.
Right.
It's tough, but this is the price of us doing the kind of show we do because we know it works. The other part of it, though, is that when a person is no longer on our show, I have no right to talk about them anymore.
Right.
Because, first of all, it's illegal. Second of all, to me, I would be out of integrity. I am not going to talk about them. Like, I talk about some cool stuff going on with Brad because I have his permission to say where he's working. But I always say, hey, people love you and they care about you. Do you mind if I at least mention and give an update about you from time to time? And Brad was always like, yeah, sure, go ahead.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that happened sometime in the future as well. But not right now.
No, definitely not right now. And especially, this is a tough thing. Endings are tough for people. And I don't have a right to talk about somebody's ending because it wasn't mine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't me. It was involved. It was Top Shelf and Nick involved with the company they're employed by. Those are the people involved. I don't have a right to comment on that. They do, and maybe someday they will. You know, it's up to the people. You know, Brad doesn't have a problem going, hey, and we've talked about it a lot. And like you said, we'll see what Top Shelf and Nick want to do.
Yeah.
I respect their privacy.
Absolutely.
But as far as you talking to us, yeah, we don't tell you to respect our privacy. This is our job. This, we will engage with you on this. So, like you said, Steve, I don't understand other shows that go, or other celebrities or anybody respect our privacy, which is why I think Sharon Osbourne deserves credit, because she realizes she's in a world and a form of entertainment where they're going to care about her life.
Right.
That's what they do on that talk show of hers. So,
which is funny because as a viewer, that stuff will make me uncomfortable for her because I'm like, I don't want to have to hear the Ozzy. But I get why she's doing it, because maybe I'm in the minority, because I think there are people that are like, I watch you every day. I demand to know what's going on with your divorce that is crushing you.
And you know, that's the price you pay for really being very intimate with people.
Very true.
Because we're much more intimate than an average show. Mm-hmm. Other shows
I tongue kiss every listener.
Well, so there was intimate. That. I had thought about that. And the Rev, he's in the look. We know more about the Rev than we want
to. I sometimes wish I could kind of get a lobotomy to forget the things that the Rev does.
Yeah. Sorry. So that's the price of that. The price is that when you create such an intimate bond, people are going to go, okay, we want to know what's going on, and we have to hear their pain because they listen to us every morning. So
true.
I don't hate it. I'm glad we're here for you. It sucks to hear people say they don't want to listen anymore, but I get it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you just need to take a break, or sometimes it's just something you say out of anger. I sure held on that in my life. That's why I say you're always welcome back.
Yeah, no ill will.
There's no ill will.
Like, I thought you said you weren't listening.
Yeah, there's none
of
that.
We're not broadcasting for you ever again.
Yeah, we get you're angry. We get you're upset. And, you know, sometimes you just got to say it and write it. And, you know, we get it. And we're here. This is our job. This is part of it. You're part of our family. And it sucks when this stuff happens. And we're with you, man.
I think it really does like kind of illustrate where we're at, that I don't think there's many other instances where someone says, I never will listen again, where we will take it and be like, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, more often than not, you're like, F you
for
saying that. Like, some people say it for the dumbest reasons. In this instance, when someone's like, I'm not listening anymore, it's like, I hear you. I get why you're upset. And we are sorry. That's all we can talk about.
Yeah.
But we hope that you'll one day decide that, you know what, I miss those guys and I want to go back and hear what's going on with them, because, yeah, it's a bummer to lose two guys that a lot of people view as part of their family. They drive and they listen. They hear these guys. But, you know, we're still here and we're still doing what we can. And we're not doing this in spite of them. We're not saying these things. We're not going to ever trash talk Nick or Toppy, because they're forever in our brotherhood.
And Nick was my magic playing buddy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I'm going to trash talk him.
Dude, he's my baseball buddy. I mean, he's the only guy on the show that really, really cared about baseball as much as I do. And I know you guys talking
in the hallways during the breaks.
Love talking about it. He was a big Mariners fan. And I love somebody who's a big Mariners fan as much as I'm a big Red Sox fan. Because, you know, in Seattle, you don't always find that. He was the true real deal when it came to caring and loving the Mariners since day one of his life. So I am going to miss that.
But see, you guys can find a new magic buddy. You can find a new baseball buddy. He was my music documentary buddy. Good luck finding another one of those.
Yeah, you're right.
He's the only guy that you could bond with over Radiohead.
Only the early albums.
Yeah. I know.
I look forward to it. I hope that, you know, when the dust settles and whatever life brings us, that I, you know, obviously want these guys to continue to be in our lives. And
I sure as hope that I have not gone to my last ball game with him, because it's fun going to, I mean, especially when Red Sox and Mariners when they play each other.
You might have to spring for those Diamond Club tickets again.
Yeah, I might have to. But it was such a fun annual tradition to do. But it'll take some time. Everybody needs time for stuff to, like you said, for the dust to settle. But I'm with you, Steve. I hope that the only thing that changes is that they're not in the room with us every day. I hope that the deep bond and deep friendship, I hope that stays forever. I do.
And the great memories. And I think we'll end it there, just because we do have other... This is a weird day for us behind the scenes. We have meetings upon meetings. And like a lot of this, like, as you can hear,
Plus, the Rev hasn't gone to the bathroom in about 15
solid
minutes.
Dude, I've been having stress poops all day.
So. Well, that's why I had to leave. We were going to start this like 10 minutes earlier. But I was like, my stomach is in knots. It's been in knots for 2 days.
It's been like this
now.
All day. Like, I had just my normal smoothie breakfast. So normally I'm pretty cool, but it's been a rough day.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank you, BJ, for jumping on with us.
How about me being on the number one rated podcast? I can't believe I was invited.
Check out Geek Nation. And
yes, check out the number 10 rated podcast.
Hey, that's awesome, though. You know, and then we're going to do what we do. And if you, obviously, we're trying to make this a little bit more lighthearted, but I hope you hear underneath all of that, we have a lot of love and a lot of empathy. And we only hope for the best for those guys. And we appreciate people who listen. We appreciate whatever you had to say. We know that it comes from a place of care, because you love the show, you love those guys, and how can we fault you for being upset about any of that? You know, I mean, as a human being, I get it. I mean, but we got to move on. And
speaking of that, I should apologize to that texter that said move on. I kind of yelled at them.
Oh, that guy deserved it.
That guy. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite moments of the show. Though it was funny.
It's just like it's interesting to see that move fire. On from my grieving. I'm like, I'm not going to move on. I'm bummed that these guys are gone. Don't tell me to move on.
Right. Stop being sad that your relationship ended.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know when I'm supposed to stop being sad yet.
It's the first day.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, give me a break.
It's like 2 hours
give you a
fresh
day at least.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. Well, we're gonna get out of here. Thank you again, BJ. I really do appreciate.
Very welcome.
Swinging in here. Rev, as always.
Heck yeah.
Next week, don't worry. We're not going to have a podcast because I won't be in town. But we'll be back the following week. I don't know what we're going to do at that point. I am hoping to run into some of the NXT wrestlers tomorrow at the Paramount. So if I record any interviews with them, maybe I'll throw them up on some point in the next week or so. So, you know, subscribe to us on iTunes, and then you don't have to worry about it. It'll just show up on your stupid phone. All right, let's get out of here, because I think this song is so appropriate for today. We got to stay positive. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Top Shelf. Thank you, Mono Nick, for everything that you've provided for not only BJ and Migs, but for the Migs cast. All of us douches love you guys. Stay positive, everybody. We'll be back next time.